I got home earlier this week. Thankfully, I made it home by supper time on Thanksgiving. And one thing that I wanted to make sure and do was water Lena's plants. We've been gone. And we had somebody watching the dog, thankfully, so the dog was fine. Lola and I had a quiet meal together, which was nice. It's been a while since I've had some quiet time. Been around a lot of family recently. And one of the plants that that I went to water, it used to be a small tree, but it's since died. There was only a stick sticking out of the ground. And I thought, it's leaning over. And I went to touch it, and it wasn't attached to anything. So it's definitely dead. Not my fault, though. It had already died. Not my fault this time. You know, under the right conditions, plants, they grow. They grow well. They flourish. They grow fruit or seeds of some kind of fruit to perpetuate the plant. And some of those fruits are used for food, I should say. Some of those fruits are used for food by people. God has given us plants, and they're intended to be useful. Some for food, others for other purposes that God has set them aside for. As Christians, we are part of a type of a plant, symbolically a vine. In John chapter 15, we won't turn there. John 15, verse 1, Jesus details the fact that he is the vine. Our Father is the vine dresser, but we are branches on that vine. God is our caretaker, and we are intended to grow from that vine. And he also details that those branches of that vine, if they are not productive, if they don't grow, they are taken away. In some versions, some translations, it talks about how they are lifted up or carried off. They're taken out of the vine because they are not useful. But God doesn't want us to be taken out of the vine. Otherwise, why would he have brought us to himself to place us in that vine, to become part of this body of Christ, this spiritual vine? We are still supposed to be useful for God's purposes. We are intended to grow. It is God's intention for us to continue to grow after we've been grafted into that vine so that we become part of that body. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to be reading from the Contemporary English Version. I like how it words some of this section here. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, we see in this section the fact that we are supposed to grow. We've been given faith. Peter talks about our faith. But we just don't hold on to what we've been given. We also grow. We grow it. We grow our faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 5, Peter writes, "Do your best to improve your faith." So we improve our faith by adding goodness, understanding, self-control, patience, devotion to God, concern for others, and love. And that's God's agape love. Verse 8 says, "If you keep growing in this way, it will show that what you know about our Lord Jesus Christ has made your lives useful and meaningful." So we have a purpose. We aren't just to know the truth, not just to have faith, but to grow in all of these aspects of our faith. And a lot of these sound similar to the fruit of God's Spirit. So it's this connection with God that allows us to have this growth, to become like God. And God intends this vine to grow and produce fruit. I have a couple of ways that we can grow. Now, as Peter detailed, at least in this translation, it talks about improving our faith, growing our faith, we could say. How do we grow our faith? How do we add to that faith that is so precious, that is so amazing that God has given us? Well, I have three ways that we can begin to grow our faith. Three ways that we can begin to grow our faith. The first way is that we can examine ourselves. We examine ourselves. Part of our personal growth is self-examination. It's personal. It's deep. It's internal. We're constantly looking at ourselves to see how we are doing, to see how we can grow further and how we have been growing. Now, this is an examination that is done upon ourselves, not upon one another. That's not the purpose of this self-examination, even though we are part of the same body. Now, we can't help each other. We can encourage each other by bearing one another's burdens, by praying for one another, by encouraging each other to stay the course, to stay on that straight and narrow path, to stay on this vine, to stay connected. But we ourselves must examine ourselves personally. Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Here the Apostle Paul reminds us to examine ourselves. Now this is back in the New King James Version, which is what I typically use for my messages. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 4 says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So that self-examination is exactly that. It is self-examination. And we look at the growth that we've had over the last year. Hopefully we've had some growth, some noticeable growth, whether other people notice or not. And verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." Now, Paul also talks about bearing one another's burdens, as I mentioned just a moment ago. But as far as our self-examination, this is our load to bear. Now, we can discuss things with other people if we have that sort of relationship. I don't recommend going around and asking everybody, "How do you think I'm doing? How do you think my growth has been?" You'd probably get some mixed answers there. That's just how it goes. But this self-examination is important. We have to look at where we're lacking, where we might be lacking some of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. As it is with us, we might be stronger in one area than another, but our task, our goal is to grow in all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We also look at if we've returned again to our former sins. That's always a danger, going back to our old ways before we were changed, before we repented of our sins. And also looking at new sins that we might have picked up. Hopefully, we see ways that we've overcome. And it's good to notice both small and great overcomings on our part. Now, we often talk about this type of internal examination when we're preparing for the Passover. But this is something that we must do all the time, on a regular basis. Not to get us down, but so that we are continually growing. Not just once in a while, not when we feel like it, but continually growing. And this is a challenge for us as God's people living in this world with all these trials, tribulations, temptations, whatever happens around us. This is our challenge. And of course, the Passover reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ to make this growth possible. It also reminds us of the role that our personal sins take in the need for that sacrifice. If we hadn't sinned, if no one had sinned, then Christ would not have needed to die. But we all have sinned. But because of his sacrifice, we have opportunity to grow, to mature, to be forgiven our sins, to be attached to that vine that is Christ, to be part of his body. Now, we won't always like what we see when we examine ourselves, but we will grow if we examine ourselves. This will help that growth process, and we need to do it, both looking at our failures, but also our successes. Now, secondly, besides examining ourselves, a way that we can grow spiritually, producing fruit, is, of course, asking God for help. We must ask God for help. We must ask him at all times for the help that we need so desperately. We can't do this on our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, here Paul is writing initially to a group of people who had lost sight of the fact that they needed God for this growth. And he uses this analogy of plants growing, needing sustenance. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He brings in some individuals, including himself, that were helpful in the spiritual growth of this congregation. But he reminded them that God is actually the one who brings the growth. Verse 6, or let's start with verse 5. Verse 5, he writes, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos?" There were some in the congregation that said, "Well, I must be more holy than you because I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Apollos, or they taught me, this person taught me. But he says, but who are these individuals? And he includes himself in that. But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. So we know God does the calling, and he uses people to help with that calling. That's what Paul is talking about. Verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So we must go to our Heavenly Father for this help, for growth. We can go to him, and we can ask him specifically to give us the growth spiritually that we need to help us to increase in our faith, to grow, to produce fruit in us. We can also ask him to help us to be useful to him, and also to be useful to our brethren. And we look for opportunities to be useful. We also ask, and most importantly, we ask for help overcoming our sins. That has to come first. We must overcome our sins. And God has given us quite a bit of help. He gives us continual guidance. He does this firstly through his word. And that's why we read his word. It isn't just, you know, the pastor up here saying some things that sound good. It has to come from the word of God. Also, he helps us and guides us through his Holy Spirit. Firstly, when we were first called, he opens our minds through that Spirit. And later on, after we've repented, we've been baptized, he dwells within us through that same power. It's his very essence, his mind, his presence within us, both of the Father and of the Son. And we are guided by God through that power as he helps us to better understand his character so that we might better develop that same character and nature in ourselves. With God's help, we can more thoroughly examine ourselves, something that we can't do without God's Spirit. The Bible describes in some places unintentional sins, things that we didn't mean to do, or in some cases, secret faults. David describes this in the Psalms, secret faults, things that we didn't understand that we were doing wrong. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, everything we do might be wrong or might be right. God tells us, he gives us the details, but sometimes we don't understand until God reveals it to us, and we can ask him for that. No matter how hard we work at this spiritual growth, at becoming a better person, at becoming stronger, we need God to actually grow. We cannot achieve true spiritual growth without his help. And so we must ask God and ask him specifically to help us to grow and mature and to bear fruits. Thirdly, in this growth process, we must purposefully look for opportunities for growth. Purposefully look for opportunities for growth. Now, if we had time, we'd go more closely through 2 Peter. I think he details the basics of these opportunities, potential opportunities for growth. Maybe we'll go through these briefly here. 2 Peter chapter 1, as we read before, he talks about goodness. And so we continue in goodness, looking for opportunities to learn how to be good, to repent of our sins and live God's way of life more intently, more earnestly, more honestly with ourselves. We also seek understanding, learning more about God's word and going and asking him for the wisdom. And we also develop understanding by iron sharpening iron, discussing the word of God together. Not so that we could prove somebody else wrong or prove ourselves right, but so that we can understand the word of God. Peter talks about self-control, not becoming too relaxed or stagnant in our growth, desiring to improve ourselves, devoting the time that we need. And this can be challenging when there's so many other things taking up our time, but we need this self-control. Peter talks about patience, taking the time to look carefully at ourselves and not just rushing off, but taking a good look. He talks about devotion to God, seeking ways to serve God the way that he wants to be served. He also talks about concern for others, seeking ways to care for our brethren. That is something that is important. And lastly, Peter talks about love, that agape love that God shows us. He is that example of that. And we are striving to learn how to love like he loves us. We challenge ourselves in this way to grow. One more passage here. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Here we see Paul again writing. He's talking about us developing this spiritual growth. And we see actually that our own spiritual growth helps encourage the growth of the entire vine. That's something that is interesting to think about. Our personal growth can help encourage the growth of others and help provide stability in this spiritual vine. So we work together, being part of this same vine. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4, 14. Paul writes here, breaking into the thought, he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we have to be firmly connected to this vine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, or in our analogy, the vine, the true vine that we are connected with. In verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Our personal growth helps encourage the growth of the entire body. Otherwise, we could, be just fine out on our own, growing by ourselves, but that's not how it works. That's not how God works. He wants us close. He wants us connected. So, brethren, we have to be working on our spiritual growth, remaining connected to this vine that God has brought us to be part of. Firstly, we examine ourselves. This is personal, deep examination, looking at our failures, but also our successes that God has given us. Secondly, we ask God for help. We can't do this on our own. God is the only one who can provide us true spiritual growth. And thirdly, we purposefully look for opportunities for growth, keeping in mind that our individual growth also benefits the growth of the entire vine. We can't just sit back and wait for God's plan to unfold, even when we see things happening around us in the world. We have to continue to grow, adding to our faith daily and becoming more spiritually mature as God has intended.